Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, people. We are not fired yet. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the press secretary of the White House. I am the hot rod for now. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, soon going to be fired.
I am the mooch. Oh, sorry. I am Sean Black back in the building once again. Oh, boy.
Yes. Wow, it's so weird to do a show back on Monday night, you know?
Yeah.
what a
concept.
I know. I was like, wait, we're doing a show today? Oh, sugar. Let me get myself ready. And on the other phone lines, I have the one, the only. I have the one and only. Where's K-Dog? Oh, never mind. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. And then she could not be in tonight. She had other engagements with, you know, her sex parties. But the number to call in to or to talk about a certain topic or a certain someone that we all know about is 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. And once again, we have pissed people off for the last, well, since we started the show.
Yeah.
Do you feel like continuing to do it and piss some people off tonight?
Well, this pissing people off stuff is starting to become such an interesting hobby. I think we can keep doing it. Hey, life happens.
Okay. And if there's any, once again, if there's any Trump supporters or Republicans, please call me. I have some questions to ask again. Of course, about your president, Mr. Trump. And, Sean Black,
he's
and I,
he's president? Because the last I checked, he seemed like a carnival barker.
to be honest, I don't know what to say anymore because I keep repeating myself over and over, like, we don't want to talk about Trump. Sean Black, let's find other topics besides Trump. And what's happened? We go back to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told Sean Black a few minutes ago, you can go to a complete stranger in the street. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. What do you think about Trump? You will get maybe a positive or a negative, or you will get a angry reaction. To a good angry reaction in a positive way, like, I support the man, yeah, blah, blah. Or a negative reaction. Of course, if you're in New York, you will get a lot of negative reaction. But regardless, you will get a reaction. Like, this Trump era in the last year and a half or so have such an impact on the media. And to a certain degree in our lives, it's still amazing to me. Like, here we are, a man who's been in office for 194 days, like anyone's really counting.
So trust me, there are tons of people that are counting.
It's like, there's so much news, there's so much going on, it's hard to keep up. If we have done the show 6 days a week, we have news stories for 7 days a week or 8 days a week.
Yes.
You know, but let's start off with the breaking news first. That Sean Black called me at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock today. Was after tonight, Sean, you will be fired from this show, of course.
Of course.
What happened today?
I'm sorry.
What is the latest story of the Trump soap opera?
The Trump, yes. As the world burns is what I should call it. Just, you know. Once again. As I called you, like I said, I called you about a little after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I usually don't call you. You usually will call me, and we'll usually get into a production meeting before we plan out what we're going to do for the show. So I call you. You said, what are you calling me for? You know Anthony Scaramucci was fired today? Didn't he just get hired 10 days ago? Yes. This is just about conversation. And then we both busted out laughing. Because this is the Trump soap opera, the gift that keeps on giving, mostly to late-night talk show hosts and comedians who will rip Trump apart, given the opportunity. But even more so, it's even much more sad in the fact that this administration, since I've been saying since before he got elected, that this kind of nonsense is going to happen, is that they are seemingly inept bumpkins that run around that don't know the detail of their jobs, what they're supposed to be doing, nor do they care. Now, to give you the scorecard on what's happened, Anthony Scaramucci, from the last time we did our show on a Monday, he took over as communications director for the White House. Now, Sean Spicer, who was the press secretary, resigned because he thought he would be doing two jobs. He said, this is too much. I'm doing my job, plus I'll be doing this other guy's job. I'm out. So he's gone. In goes Sarah Huckabee Sanders taking over for Sean Spicer. Now, on top of that, Scaramucci decided to go and he just laid, he just glassed the place with lava and burned the scorched earth and burned everything in front of him to the point where Ryan Priebus, who was the chief of staff, decided to resign. And in his place was hired was John Kelly. Today, John Kelly decided to fire Scaramucci. I don't. You can't make this stuff up. It's like a soap opera.
Isn't that news that's going on that people keep saying this is all fake news? This is like
exactly.
We don't know what the real story that's going on behind closed door, which is true.
Yeah,
I do believe we do have fakes. I do believe media do exploit the news a little bit further than the truth. But, I mean, yes, some of it is their job. But at the same time, they want to damage Trump as much as they can. But
I don't think the media needs to damage Trump. All you have to do is just let. You know what it's like? It's like letting a 4-year-old run rampant in the house by himself. At some point, that child is going to get into trouble. Even if you warn the child, don't touch this. You might get burned. Don't touch the stove. Don't turn the water on without turning it off, because you might flood the house. Don't throw a basketball in the house. You might break the window. And then you go out for 2 hours, you come back, the whole house is in chaos. This is what is going on. We know what the real issue is. What all of these stories and all of the infighting and all of the arguing and all of the firing and all of the stuff that's going on, it's to keep the media away from the real story, which is this Russian collusion story that seems to be getting closer and closer and closer to Trump and his family and the entire issue of collusion with the election and the business visit, et cetera.
Something like that, people would disagree with you. People would say, that's your conspiracy. And you don't have nothing to prove. You could go by the report, but Sean Black, you was never there. We don't know what really happened behind closed doors. And let's say there's a conspiracy between Trump and Russia. In the end, who cares? He won the election, that's it. They try their best to try to indict Trump, to impeach Trump. So far, they failed. Can people just let bygones be bygones and let's bring this country and move it forward?
It's not that simple, and you have to understand. For those that don't realize the importance of this entire investigation, which Trump seemingly has tried to put obstacles in front of the people that are there that are supposed to do it. Robert Mueller, who is doing the investigation and all of this stuff, is getting closer and closer. Now, the reason why this is important, for people that may not understand why this is important, if you have an elected official who is supposed to divest his interests in businesses that may have a conflict of interest from other countries, meaning Donald Trump has businesses in Russia and probably Saudi Arabia or wherever, if you are an elected official as president, the last thing that the government needs is to have any governing person making decisions based on business dealings with other countries. We already know that Russia hacked the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, hacked their emails. We know Russia tried to interfere with the election, or at least tried to influence it in a whatever way they tried to. That's proof. That proof is there. The issue is what Robert Mueller is trying to do is to connect the dots so that there is enough evidence to make sure that if Trump had his hand in the cookie jar, they have a picture of it. Everybody involved, all the players are involved, they have ties to it, including Donald Trump Jr., who has admitted to it through the email that was shown that he had dealings with Russia, and all of the family members and everything else. Everybody has business in this. This cannot stand, because if that is the case, as I stated before, the conflict of interest is against the governing of this country. And with all of the stuff that Trump has said about women, about minorities, about transgender people, which we'll get into also later, all of the other things that have been brought up, it is a black eye not only on the country, but also on relations with other countries that deal with the United States. And that's the problem that has to be taken care of when they go through this investigation.
Well, Adrian McKenzie from the United Kingdom just tweeted to me that this is by far the best season of The Apprentice ever. Which I think is very much so true.
Which is also sad.
This is definitely like The Apprentice. Everybody's getting fired or relocating left and right. It's like it's unbelievable.
But there was a news story that I heard like a couple of days ago that Donald Trump seems to like this chaos. The real reason why I think Scaramucci was fired, and it just goes into the ego of Donald Trump, but that Scaramucci was taking credit for certain things, and he is getting much more attention than Trump for the brief 10 days he was on this episode of the White House Apprentice show.
Well, Scaramucci was criticizing Trump years ago on the show. On his show, I think it was on Fox or one of those news cable network shows. He was criticizing Trump, basically trashing him out. And next thing we know, you're working for the bastard. I mean, you're working for Trump. Isn't that like oxymoron? I'm like, I know we all need money, but not like he really needed the money, you know.
Yeah, but see, part of all of this has been all of the people that are seemingly working under Trump. If you remember about a month and a half, maybe almost 2 months ago, do you remember on the news where Donald Trump had his cabinet meeting in public with the media there, one of the rare times he actually wants the media to go there, and everybody sitting around a table took turns praising Donald Trump like he's the head king and he has his knights of the round table giving him praise. Oh, I am so glad to serve you as our president and such and such. And then they will go to the next person, then the next person, then the next person. Almost all of these people that have been praising Trump at one point dunked on him during the campaign. You remember Ted Cruz's father was accused of being part of the Kennedy assassination by Donald Trump? Remember all of the women that were running? He talked about it, belittled and said this and said that. All of the things that he said about lying Ted Cruz and lying Hillary, all of these things that he said to all of the other people that ran against him, the ones that said the more critical things to say are now working for him. And the ones that are working for him are now smooching his behind to keep their jobs. Scaramucci, as you just talked about, he was on Fox News talking all kinds of stuff. I don't like him. I think he's a demagogue. He's not the right person for the job. He's this and that. He was so critical of him. He said, if I got him in front, I'd take him out if I get the chance. Or we can go at it right now. And now all of a sudden, not only is he a great American, he's the greatest American I've ever seen. Blah, 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 blah. They changed their tune once they have some power behind them, given the person that they were running against.
I think what goes something I will say over and over again, and some people will agree, that whether you like Obama or not, that's not the case. I don't recall in the 8 years that Obama was president, we had so much chaos and turmoil in the office compared to his 8 months. We're going to our 8th month now tomorrow. Of the White House right now. Like, you can't compare the two. Everybody hated Obama, or he didn't do a good job, whatever. And people was afraid of Hillary because of some lousy emails. Granted, she was not the best candidate. But Trump supporters, be real with me. You cannot tell me this is the best president you've seen so far. That's one thing I would be happy to argue with you about. Did I support Trump in the beginning? Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I like some of his ideas. But guess what? I told people, let's give him a chance. Apparently, he's failing me 100%. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But am I shocked by this? No, because once again, Milton X say it best. America loves chaos.
What I think, not even just America, but what you tried to do in your own way was to say, okay, I'm a human being. Let's not hope he's 100% animal. Let's hope that he actually can do something positive.
Something.
Let's see what
something.
Happens. And you want to know something? You, like the people that voted for him, and I'm not saying all the people that voted for Trump are evil, racist, bigoted people, but the people that voted for Trump fell for the charm and the TV star and everything else, and it was fine to see everything he said and did when it came to being the candidate. The same stuff that he's doing as president. It's not as cute anymore because now the things that he says and the things that he does have ramifications that can be felt and be life-changing. And that is the difference between Trump the candidate and Trump the president. And the people he's surrounding himself with that fall in lockstep with his way of thinking will think the same way, will legislate the same way, and the same people that voted for Trump are the same people that are going to be hurt by Trump in the long run. And those are the ones that hurt because he's playing to his constituency and not trying to grow his base. He's only playing to the people that voted for him.
And it's funny that you say that because earlier today in Brooklyn, New York, there was an incident in the projects where a disturbed man was killed by cops. Long story short, they tried to, you know, calm him with tasers and everything, and eventually shot him. I don't know the whole story, but the reason why I brought this up was, as we discussed it earlier, Sean, a few days ago, Trump was at a police graduation, and basically that he encouraged more enforcement on the police. He wanted the police to use more brutality towards people.
Mm-hmm.
If they come after you, Kim, bash their heads open, that type of way. A president of the United States is giving police permission to basically go out and do what you want. And as bad as like right now, as we discussed on this show for the last 3 years, out of all the topics, God forbid, how many times we did cop killing or topics. And, you know, as police trying to build their relationship with the community, especially in New York, you know, this man who's out here telling the police officers, go out, go do your thing, beat them up, enforce it, you know, like, wait a minute, what are you trying to tell? I'm like, I understand what he's trying to say to a certain degree, but once again, Trump don't know how to explain himself because he's such a child, like you always say, he's 4 years old.
Yes.
I'm like, if we go attack an officer, of course he must use 100% to defend himself anyway, by any way means. Maybe he means by that, but the way he said it, well, hey, officers, go beat people up. Go do what you need to do. So anyway, that's his support for Blue Lives Matter, I have to say.
And that's the last thing that this country needs is any more physicality from the police, given the climate that we're living in right now. Forget about just race. We're talking about, in general, the way that the police are perceived. If you go to any neighborhood in this country, you're going to get different opinions based on how the police perceive. But after that comment that he made when he was out in Long Island talking to the police at the graduation, and just even intimating a little bit, you know, when you put your hand on their heads and put them in the car, maybe not put your hand on their head, let them bang their head, et cetera, you know. It's the implication. Even if he doesn't go out there and say, well, the cops should go do what they have to do, it's the implication involved. And there are a lot of people in this country that already know that a lot of people, police, there are rogue cops out there, there are police officers that have done wrong, I think that the good cops outweigh the bad cops. The problem is once bad cops actually go out there and do what they do, they've pretty much damned the rest of the police. And in the eyes of the people that are looking for them to serve and protect, a lot of them are now scared to death. And I think that's the problem that's going on right now.
Well, what do you mean by scared to death? Let's be honest. Like I said on last week's show, 559 people were killed by cops, right? And that number alone scares people. And as you saw my son yesterday when we went on our field trip. He loves cops. He go up to cops and say hello to cops. And the cops say always say hello back to him. And you know, because he's a kid. You encourage kids to be friendly with cops. But us, you and I, kid or everybody else, black men, we fear for our lives for cops because that's our upbringing. And I'm sure the cops are afraid of us because we're black, because what they hear about us is like it's a no-win situation between the both of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a cop see us, he might be carrying a weapon. Or we see a cop, he might shoot me first and ask questions later. So we have that tension going on right now. So when we hear Donald Trump saying this, like, oh, great. Thanks a lot, Trump. Thank you, Hitler.
We all know somebody that is either in law enforcement, maybe we've had a family member, or I personally had a family member who is deceased now, that used to work as a corrections officer. You have friends, you have probably family members or friends that you know of that have worked in the law enforcement agency at some point, somewhere. So we all know what it's like to see the good side of what people do as a job. So growing up, I was never conditioned to be told, be afraid of police. My mother, my grandmother, lots of other family members have told me, if you see the cop, you need to speak to them. If something happens, go ahead and talk to them. We're in a climate now where so many people are so afraid yet angry with all of the things that have happened. To hear President Trump go out there and say something like that, it just puts, as you would say, it adds fuel to the fire.
And for the record, a lot of cops backed away from that statement.
Exactly.
They did not agree with what Donald Trump said. But they know, we're trying to rebuild the community, rebuild the relationship, and you just, like, add fuel to the fire. And talk about fuel to the fire, K-Dog's on the line now. K-Dog. What do you have to say about your number one supporter, Donald Trump?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Listen, all I got to say about that media whore in the White House is this. I knew that this would happen in the White House because never in a million years have we seen a whole staff within 8 months of this flawed presidency have been nothing but utter chaos. There's been fighting inside, in which they have been, and now that Scaramucci has gone, well, you know what? Who's next? And this was the same man who praised Trump before, praised him as a great American, and Trump turns around and fires him.
Well, now, he was doing his job praising Trump, too, because that was his job. If I'm paying you and you don't like me, you have to praise me to a certain degree, right?
Right.
Make my image look good.
Exactly. And so did many others who were talking, who were bad-mouthing him. But once he won the election, everybody turned around to kiss his butt, including Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, who said, we can't trust Trump. All of a sudden, then he becomes Trump's friend. Ted Cruz, who refused to nominate him during the Republican convention, turns around and, he's a Trump supporter. But now, in the Senate, there was one senator who recently just wrote a book on Trump, and he's not supporting him. If you want, I could look it up right now for you.
It's okay. We have enough Russians to listen to our show. I don't want to give them too much information. Google themselves.
Because this is what happened. America elected someone who has no military background, no political background, to be the president. And now he is running it as if he's running The Apprentice. And that's why, hey, we've been laughed at before as a nation from other countries. And now the comedy is on.
Well,
basically.
So, well, okay, though. Do you think with all this chaos that's going on in the first 8 months, do you think it will die down soon? Or do you think it will still continue? And do you think, should we be afraid of all with all the chaos that's happening right now?
Well, as Americans, we should be. Of course, our government is a mess. It's always been a mess, but now it's even worse a mess now because it's knee deep. Right now, we should be concerned because you know what? America's image in the world, it was already tarnished already. That there's no lie about that. But now it's even more because you have other countries who are saying, we don't want this yutz coming into our country. What the hell is he doing here?
Think about all the people that were just fired. Think about the America pulling out of the Paris Accords. Think
about
what's been going on with the transgender ban that Trump has talked about and tweeted about, which, like I said, we'll get into also. All the things that have happened on Trump's watch. And mind you, we have a North Korean dictator who wants to bomb the United States into the Stone Age. So we have all this stuff right now
on the plate, and we have,
in essence, a four-year-old with nuclear codes. If that isn't scary enough for you, I don't know what is.
Exactly.
Well,
and this is what you try to talk. Oh, sorry for interrupting, Hot Rod. But this is what I have to ask, like, okay, to the Trump supporters out there who are diehard Trump supporters, oh, he's still doing a great job. Yeah, but you know what? They claim that whether you like him or not, or that Obama was doing what the vision, who was the divisor. No, he wasn't. Look at America now. Yeah, families fighting each other, pro-Trump and against Trump and anti-Trump. You have those two fighting each other.
Oh, here's
you
the other
talk
thing
about
that Trump
division?
Just talked about. He also talked about the unemployment is at the lowest that it's ever been ever. Now, remember when he got in office just January, he said that the jobs are nowhere to be found. Unemployment is all over the place. Unemployment was at 4.5 or 4.6% when he got into office.
It was.
When Obama first got in office, unemployment was somewhere like 9.5%. And over the 8 years he was there because of the things that he was able to do, even though he was getting obstruction from the rest of the government, he was able to get jobs in place and drop the unemployment rate. And now, because it's continuing to drop and there are jobs that are starting to be found out there, he's now wanting to take credit for that. So I don't know. He's delusional.
He's making himself a dictator. That's all I got to say. A fascist dictator.
Well, we have to go straight from continual Trump conversation to the transgender military ban. I have talked to my transgender friends about this topic. But first, let me start with K-Dog, because this is your nature beat today. It's just you're half a girl anyway. So,
oh, man.
I start with you. So since, as part of the distraction of part of the chaos from Donald Trump, he pulls a transgender military ban. So basically, no transgenders will be entering the military. Even though right now we have an estimated, I believe, 7,000 transgenders in the military right now, but they would not be recruiting any transgenders. Of course, everybody went on an uproar. From your personal and professional experience, do you think this? We did talk about transgender on the show once again many times. Do you think this military ban is a good cause, or is this another distraction? And also, what kind of underwear are you wearing right now?
Man, listen, look. The whole thing with the transgender being banned from the military, personally, listen, I don't care who it is that's in the military, because we all know that our taxpayer dollars pay for this. And, you know, nobody should pay, like, for an operation as such. because, you know, our main focus, the one thing that the military should be focused on is keeping our country safe. That should be the main focus. Now, for me personally, when it comes to the transgender military, when it comes to transgender in the military, it's a
speak
very touchy
the truth.
Subject.
Speak what's
speak
on your
truth.
Mind. When, speak
well,
what's on
okay.
your mind.
Well, there shouldn't be that kind, you know, transgender, because, you know, it throws everybody off. Like, we spoke about this off the air one time, and what it does is that it causes, there's pros and there's cons to it. Yes, anybody could join the military, whether you're a man or a woman. Yes, you have a right to join the military. But if you are already a transgender, like, let's just say you're already, you know, how do I say this, transformed already from male to female, from female, yeah, you should join the military. You know, basically, I personally don't care who it is, but I feel that, hey, if you're American and you want to join the military, go right ahead. Now,
right,
should
so
the military, yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. So should the military, it's up to the military to ban. You know, it should be that, it should be that kind of a ban, according to the military. And you cannot go against it, but however, like I said, it's a very touchy subject. And personally, for me, I don't care who joins it, but hey, it's up to whoever wants to join.
So, Sean, since you're my bitch, you're
speak
not...
for yourself.
What? Oh, so, what do you think about this military ban? Are you for it, against it, or should you see there's a in between somewhere?
Though there's no in between in this. I'm definitely against the ban from this sense. When you're looking at the definitions that were looked into going back to 1952 when homosexuality was looked at as a mental disorder, and you've gone from there until about 1973, I think is when they ended that ideology. You had to
right.
think. You had to have the evidence, quote-unquote evidence, make sure that that was the case. The stigma of anybody that is homosexual in the service is this mentality that all gay people want to do is, no matter what they're doing, is just run around and have sex with everybody. That is the big stigma that always follows everybody that has come out as homosexual since the beginning of time that we know it. We all know that that is not true. From a lot of people that have gone into the service, that have served, and nobody even knows that they've transitioned, this is a slap in the face. President Obama did as much as they could to relax and get rid of a lot of these locks in place so that more transgender people, if they are transgender, can get into the service and serve their country, because they are, just like most of us, love the United States and want to make sure that if they're going to serve the country, they're going to do so without any issues. There's more than enough garbage that goes on between the rampant sexism, as we've seen with a lot of the nonsense with Abu Ghraib, that where they were taking
yeah.
pictures and there were women that had been raped in the service,
yeah.
et cetera, et cetera.
Basically.
The way that African Americans and minorities were treated in the service, they had to make sure that all of those things were taken care of. Transgender have just as much a right to serve as any gay person, as any straight person, as any African American, as any woman. The issue that I think came up was that I believe Trump, either Trump or somebody within his cabinet, brought up that it was the cost of the surgeries, et cetera, that were involved for people that were transitioning, and the medication would take money away. What they were talking about was the money that was going to be taken away would be going towards that wall that he wants to build again in the Mexico border. That's where
wow.
a lot of this consternation came from. Now, here's the tweet
okay.
that Donald Trump brought up, And a lot of people thought he was going to try and start a war with this. He said, after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow. Then he didn't tweet for 9 minutes. So everybody expected that first tweet was, oh, he's going to bomb North Korea, uh-oh. Then he says transgender individuals to serve in a capacity in the United States military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruptions that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you, President Trump.
Okay, so we got Phil Fisher in the house now. Phil, you're a major transgender. What's your thought?
Yeah, right.
That would be
hey, what's
to
up,
all
Phil?
Of us.
What's going on, guys? Listen, you know, I was talking about this the other day with my mom and my brother. And, of course, my brother's the Trump supporter of the house. And, you know, when we started talking about it, my mom's like, you know, my mom's like, who the hell cares? Let them serve. You know,
exactly.
If they want to protect our country, they want to protect our country. But then again, my brother kind of makes a good point. And the point is the military should not be a social experiment. If they want to fight and serve our country, fine. I'm all for it. I don't judge you like that. But if you're going to come into the military to try to reap the medical benefits to have the military pay
that's
for your operation, that I'm against.
Well,
Hold on, sir. It's my turn. That's what I was waiting for, and Phil came in at the right time. I'm for, once again, not to ban transgenders. Do what the hell you want to do. You want to die for this great country of ours? Yes. But why should we pay for your social experiment?
That's what I was saying earlier.
Handle your business. Handle your business, Sean. Cut off your penis, Sean, before you join the military.
That's what I was
saying.
You know, Phil,
well, don't
that's
cut,
exactly
don't
what I was
and
saying.
And what happened, Sean? What happened if you go to the social experiment and something happened? You get discharged. We still have to pay for that.
But you want to know
that's our taxpayer money.
That's taxpayer's money. Yes.
Hold
on.
This is
not a social experiment. Sean, hold on.
I'll let you finish your minute. I'll give you a rebuttal on that.
Sean, I didn't cut your penis off yet. I'm just started. I just got the tip
on. Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Hold on.
Not bad, man.
Remember, to each his own, yes, but we should not be paying. I mean, yes, we're wasting money on other stuff. Don't get me wrong. But overall, if for military use, handle your business before you join the military. And remember, transgender, as we say on the show, has a number one suicide rate. That's another thing to look at. Being in the military is not that easy. We know military people who come back with crazy. So to add transgender, social experiment, and God knows what they go experience on the field, to come back even more crazy, man, that suicide rate could be even higher. I'm going to say, join in, do what to do, but cut off your penis or add your penis, whatever you want to do first. That's all I'm saying, before you serve our great country.
I think what you're conflating is the fact that people that are going into the service are going into the service with the express intent of getting surgery done. That's not what this is about. If that is the case, then there's something to discuss there.
But how do you know that? You don't know that for sure.
What the people that are there that are talking about joining is, there are people that are already transgender, that are already serving, that are already in
the
service.
No, we're not saying anything against them.
But that's what this ban is going to do. If this ban goes through, the people that are already serving, that are already transgender, will be kicked out. The one
but
that
you know
are
what?
Going, yeah.
Well, you know what, Sean? I'm sorry to cut you off. You'd be surprised at how many people support this ban. Now, I'm not talking about us, military people. You know, we all could agree on this. Donald Trump did not come with this idea on his own. Well, you know,
of
he's
course.
Too dumb enough to think about that.
Right.
He got some inside information, some military, his generals, maybe the racist generals, if you want to call them, they come up to him and they told him why. We may not know the whole story, Sean, but there must be a real reason why. If this is a distraction from the Russians, so be it. But you know
As much as you have said that Donald Trump is come up with a lot of these ideas himself. I think you're probably giving him a little too much credit for him being as naive as he is. Maybe the generals have said something to him in passing somewhere, but you got to remember, no matter what the generals say and do, the ultimate decision always will be the commander-in-chief when the buck stops at the president. If the president feels, if he goes through the right protocol, that that's going to be the case, then it is going to be the case. Now, a lot of people, the generals that he spoke of, when that was the case, when he brought the tweet out, those same generals that he quote-unquote talked to, they didn't even know he was even thinking this. So this is whole my whole point.
Yeah, right.
First of all, Trump did his Twitter thing. The general that was there said, well, we didn't even know he was going to go on Twitter. I doubt that they thought that he was going to go, like, at the time that he did. I'm sure they had some kind of discussion about it. So they had to have had some kind of discussion.
Of course.
But the fact remains that these people, if they really don't think that he's going to go and say whatever he says on Twitter, and then you're not going to know what's going to happen, this is part of the dysfunction in this entire thing to begin with that makes it worse to make a decision like this.
Excuse me, Sean. Our executive producer said that Trump was appealing to the Christians and not to the military. Do you believe that?
There you go. There you go. Religion plays a part in it.
I can believe that because almost all of the Republicans that I have seen have always been Bible-thumping, God-fearing people. And the issue is they always govern with God at their shoulder instead of using facts in front of them.
Excuse me, to Phil, not to be too personal about your life, is your brother religious?
No, we are far from religious. Trust me, we are far from religious. If I would have been religious, I would have not gone to do the sports show on 90.9 with Sean and Platon and myself on Saturday. My dad used to work on Saturday, so we are far from religious.
So why your brother is a big Trump supporter then, overall? What do you think?
I can't speak for my brother, but, you know, Trump, you know, I guess, you know, Trump said, you know, when Trump started his whole campaign, you got to remember something. This is the first time that I could see in my lifetime that someone came along, has a buttload of money, and he's a New Yorker just like us, and he's not afraid to say, and he was not afraid to say what's on his mind. And this is the first time I think that the people that think they can control him are scared of him because he doesn't care. He has all the money in the world. He's worth God knows how much. He ain't going to care what he says or does.
Exactly.
True, but
exactly.
That's as a businessman. As Sean was stated, this is the biggest seat in the house in the world. You're the leader of the free world. You represented us, and now we're the laughing stock of the world. America's not as strong as we used to be. Now we're just another apprentice show with everybody's getting hired and fired over here. And now the media, us, we having a field day talking about this 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Seen the president use so much social media in all my life.
You know, once the media has had it out for Trump since day one, from the moment he announced that he was running, I remember going on Facebook and seeing the front page of the Daily News, is running for president. They made him look like the Joker. I can remember that. The day after the election was won, and the Daily News has had it out for him since day one.
America,
it put House
America's
of Horrors.
Yeah.
So who got the last laugh in the end? Who got the last laugh?
Oh, of course, Trump got the last laugh in the end. He did. He took a lot of he took the states that needed to be taken, point blank.
And do you think because of that, the media's too upset, they can't get over that Trump win, so they find any little thing, any negative or any story to get on Trump, to make Trump look bad? I mean, yes, he's doing it on his own. On his own perfectly, don't get me wrong.
I don't think they're finding it. I think it's just there. You don't have to look
there.
Hard
it's
to
there.
Find
it's
the wrong story on Trump because it's right, it's right in the open.
Because you know what? It's all there because listen to his speeches.
Look at the stuff he writes on social media. It's all there in your face. And the media is having a field day, i.e., Saturday Night Live.
That's oh, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, Alec Baldwin's been hilarious. About a president that decided to go to a celebration of the Boy Scouts and make it about himself, about
yeah.
how great he is as a president and who should be fired and who shouldn't be. This is at a meeting for Boy Scouts. If that isn't enough
wow.
to tell you the temperament of Donald Trump, then nothing is. 40,000
okay.
Boy Scouts.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, one more thing I have to say about Trump before we go to our last topic. Go ahead, Phil.
I just wanted to say with the whole transgender thing, while we were talking about it, there should be some provisions made to, you know, if they're going to join the military, that before you join, you know, you get your benefits, your formulary, and whatever, but it should be stated on there what is covered. And sex change operations should not be covered. They should be told about that before they join. You know, it should be like,
basically, there should be some, I think I agree, there should be some guidelines overall.
I don't think that's the biggest thing. I don't think that's the main issue with this whole thing. I think that's the talking point to keep people talking about it, to keep them away from the real issues. That's not, if the transgender community is going in to serve, that's not the number one thing that they're thinking of there. They want to serve. Now, like you just said, there should be some provisions involved. I'm pretty sure there already were provisions there. Trump is just saying, no, you can't serve at all in any capacity, period. They're not saying you can't join with
the cost of money, we have to be looked into it. But my thing is, why now? Why all this chaos right now?
We know the reason why. And if I've said it before, I'll say it again.
Controversy.
This is to keep the media at arm's length and keep everybody else away from the Russian collusion story and all of the other interesting tidbits that are starting to bubble to the surface that we've been listening to over the last month and a half. That's what this is all about. The more you talk about the transgender stuff, the more you talk about Saramucci and all the other guys that are involved in the game,
keeps everybody away from
placed
Russia.
Around like it's an old Rubik's Cube puzzle, the less we're talking about the Russian collusion stuff. And that Russian collusion stuff, a lot of this can be associated with jail time to the people involved. That's how important this stuff is. But nobody, the press is trying to keep hammering this so you know what is involved and how this has become the biggest social joke of our lifetime. If you want to talk about a social experiment, Trump as president is the biggest social experiment of them all.
Okay. All right, Sean. Honestly, if I ever win the lottery, I got you covered. I will take care of your coverage, okay? Calm down. I got you, okay? Any of you guys wanted to? I got you, all right? Because
I'm
going to win the lottery.
The hot rod is
coming. Oh, man.
All right. I just want to go on this other last topic a little bit. I know last couple we talked about depression, suicides, and all that stuff. Last week, in front of me, a woman jumped in front of the train and was struck and killed. And then the next day, it seemed like everybody's losing their mind in America right now. But this story got me a little bit, and I know we talk about in the past, Sean, Black Kid Organized, how people who are depressed or suicidal, we don't know what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that attack them, we call them selfish and all that stuff.
Right.
There was a couple that could not afford health insurance or basically have financial problems. A parent left suicide notes, left their two kids upstairs, went off the roof in Midtown Manhattan, and jump off and kill themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Here's where I might be in a double standard. Yes, we don't know what you're going through, suicide or depression, all that stuff. But when you guys know how I am. When there's kids involved, I'm totally on the kid's side. And it's like, how can you commit suicide leaving two kids behind and knowing that you have financial problems. Now, Sean, am I be wrong in saying that's a selfish act?
Very, very selfish.
Yes, it is.
I know there are people that would say if you have $1 million insurance policy and you have a child, and you kill yourself so that the child can get the insurance policy so that that can be taken care of. Some people would look at that as like, you know, that's admirable, whatever, but it's still, look, the child does not have the parents involved in their life. To do something like that, I don't know how you can reconcile yourself with a mother and a father killing themselves together and not thinking about the child, just leaving the, well, we're doing it because of. You can let the child, you know, put the child up for adoption. Get counseling. There are other ways instead of just going and killing your. What happens to the child as the child grows up? Well, my parents killed themselves because I'm a burden to them. So how does that make the child feel? And think of the burden on the child as that child gets older, of the grief that you already put on that child before it can really do anything in its life. That's just a lot.
So for sure.
I can understand what Sean is saying. And, you know, at the same time, when you are depressed, I mean, I've seen my mom go through depression. You know, my brother is in a depression because he's got so many issues going on with him. I mean, and, you know, thank God, you know, he's not at the point where he wants to kill himself. Thank God. Probably because, you know, we have my mom. We have a friend that lives with us, and I'm there, you know. So, you know, thank God, you know, he's on medication, you know. He hasn't been to work in over a year, and, you know, thank God, you know.
Excuse me, hold on. Sorry to cut you off. He's on medication. Where you got the meds from?
Okay. He gets the meds from the pharmacy, you know. He works, he has, you know, he has benefit, you know, his benefits through, he works for Wells Fargo in their call center here in Virginia.
I just want to make sure you're not the drug dealer, that's all.
No, I'm not the drug dealer. Rodney, you know, I got to say what Anitra said to you a couple of weeks ago. You're a jackass.
I'm just speaking the absolute truth, that's all.
I think, you know, for a lot of people, when you are in that state of mind and, you know, you're not thinking straight, and I guess you reach that boiling point where you don't care. And I think that's what's happened in this case. Either these people were probably not medicated. They probably didn't go to a doctor. I mean, we don't know. But the depression must have been that severe to the point where you don't care anymore, and they did what they did.
Mm-hmm. K-Dog?
Man, listen, look, when it comes to the whole thing about suicide and children, will the children be impacted by this? Yes, they will, to know that both parents committed suicide. When someone goes through that point, no one knows how severe it is when somebody is in a depressive state. It's quite serious. It is more serious than anybody think it is. Like some people, as soon as they hear somebody kill them, oh, that person was a coward, that person was selfish. It's not that they're not selfish. They're just going through something that you and I have no idea what they're going through, and they have no choice. You know, they'll do anything out of desperation and out of, you know, losing their minds, and they won't realize it. But, yes,
exactly.
The children will be affected.
And that's the hardest part.
I agree, the children will be affected. And, you know, another thing is, you know, I work in the pharmacy. We all know that, you know, sometimes, you know, one medication is not enough. And there are combination, you know, drugs for it. And sometimes people, you know, they need to be put on more than one drug, you know, going according to the case of how severe the depression is.
And even more so, you also have to worry about the side effects. You have to worry about body weight, brain chemistry, all of those factors into what that medication can and can't do and how far along they are in their depressive state.
And if anything, that's for a doctor to determine. That's where a doctor has to. That's for the doctor to determine.
Yeah.
Okay. As for my medication, ladies and gentlemen, for my depression, I take vodka, gin, tequila, triple sec.
A couple of beers,
all that stuff. But I want to go back to the other suicide that I saw. I didn't witness it fully, but I was there when the train struck the lady. And what got me was like, okay, there's a dead body part underneath the train tracks. I mean, underneath the train, of course.
Man.
People have their phones out, walking back and forth, looking for the body. I'm assuming trying to take pictures. And it's like, really? There's a dead person down there who should commit suicide for God or whatever reason. I'm sure a lot of people got upset, but, you know, anyone who takes the city, the New York City subway, we all hate late trains. It's very frustrating and stressful. But, you know, you want to go home, you want to go to work. But still, something happened. But people just eager to take pictures. Like, where is our priorities in this? And that leads me to the last story about the lady. Well, Sean, you know about it. You got 3 minutes. The Florida story.
Abdulia Sanchez, 18, booked into a Merced County jail on suspicion of a DUI. And the reason why? Because she decided to live stream the car crash she was in with her 14-year-old sister and broadcast it to the world. She was drunk, got behind the wheel, got into a car accident with her sister in the car, and she basically said, "I killed my sister, okay? I know I'm going to jail for life. This is the last thing I wanted to happen, okay? I don't care, though. I'm going to hold it down. Rest in peace, sweetie. If you don't survive, I'm so sorry." This
okay,
is what she
so,
said in the video.
So,
man, you know, this is what I call...
Go ahead.
This is what I call the case of a stupid idiot.
Oh, my goodness.
It's point blank. Point blank. How stupid can you be to broadcast something like this on Facebook?
But it's
ridiculous.
The reason why we brought this story up is it like it's a trending thing now, like when kids do something stupid, like, hey, gang rape, beating up people up. They're just live streaming. Let's put it on social media right away. So you're young. What do you think is up with this trending effect?
Who the hell knows? I think Facebook, you know, we're all, you know, some of us are on Facebook, and you know what Facebook has become? The drama network. And I hate to say it, but that's what it is. You can go from post to post, and you see people just broadcasting stupid stuff.
Yes.
And I don't care about your drama. Who gives a crap?
Phil, that's where you're wrong. I'm sorry. You are right about yourself. You don't care about the drama, but there are millions of people who are miserable.
They
care
live
about
on
your
it.
Drama. They care about your drama. And that's why people keep posting their own drama. So to get attention from other people who's like, damn, Sean's really more messed up than I am. Let me give him a life, you know? And
you know what
funny.
Facebook has become? Facebook has basically become the fifth network. You've got ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. And, of course, you want to throw in the CW. But Facebook Facebook has basically become that fifth network where everybody goes to see what's going on. And just like you said, because it's live, everybody is an instant star. They think they're going to be famous and popular. And what ends up happening is things like this. And the saddest part about it is this isn't the first time it's happened, and it won't be the last, unfortunately.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for the show tonight. So the Fish Man Fisher, K-Dog, thanks so much for making the show very interesting.
Hey, you're welcome.
Tonight.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Sean.
You're welcome, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, Trump supporter number one. I am the hot rod with Trump supporter number two.
Oh, right. Don't even put that name in my mouth.
Oh, man.
Right.
And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.
That's right.
That's right.
So I want to, which one of you guys want to get the penis cut off tonight?
Bill?
What? Oh, not happening. Not in my house.
Not in my lifetime.
Come on, I will pay for it. I swear, I'll pay for it. Good night, guys.
Good night, guys. Later, guys.
Later.